Welcome, Great News Radio listeners. This is Marianne Offenstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. We're continuing our special Founders Week programming, as broadcasted a few weeks ago up in Chicago at the Moody Church. Today, we're picking up where we left off yesterday with Dr. Gary Chapman's teaching from Founders Week. If you missed yesterday's program, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org. Here's Dr. Chapman.
And then how about physical touch? These are the people who most freely raise their hands in worship. These are people who most freely and naturally get on their knees to pray. I mean, they may lie prostrate in the floor and pray, or they may walk and pray. I mean, these are the people whose body is involved. The most natural way of expressing their love to God is to use the body, physical touch. They may cry when they sing. They may cry when they pray. And then quality time. George Mueller. This is the way he came to Christ. He spent hours in prayer and reading and meditating on the scriptures after he became a Christian. In his heart, this is the most natural way for him to express his love to God. His diary indicates how intently he felt God's love in this context of quality time, and how distant he felt from God when he didn't have time to be with God. Listen to these words from his diary. This is July the 18th, 1832. Quote, "Today I spent all morning in the vestry to procure a quiet season. This has been the only way, on account of multiplicity of engagements, to make sure of time for prayer, reading the Word, and meditation. All morning in quality time with God." 2 years later, June 25, 1834, quote, "These last 3 days I've had very little real communion with God, and have therefore been very weak spiritually, and have several times felt irritability of temper." You see, when he didn't have that quality time with God, he felt distance from God. See, these are the people who by nature, they can spend hours with God in meditating on the Word and talking to God. And there are other people, you talk about a daily quiet time, and they spend 10 minutes and they don't know what to do. It just doesn't come natural for them. And in quality time, we could also talk about David in the Old Testament. Read the Psalms. There's a man who knew what quality time with God was all about. Or we could talk about Brainerd. Or we could talk about E.M. Bounds. Or Charles Finney. Or Praying Hyde. Or C. Austin Miles, who expressed his sentiment in this hymn. Listen to this quality time man. "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." That's a quality time man. And then there's gifts. And there are people for whom giving is a natural way to express their love to God because it's their love language. I was riding across Texas a number of years ago, and I'd heard of R.G. Letourneau. I heard of him because Moody Publishers published a book years ago called Mover of Men and Mountains. R.G. Letourneau built earth-moving machines, but he ended up giving 90% of everything he made to God. And I wanted to go out to Letourneau Tech and just see what God was doing, and I stopped at a station and I said, "Can you tell me how to get out to R.G. Letourneau's place?" And the man said, "You mean that rich fool that gives away 90% of all of his money?" I said, "Yeah, that's the man I want to see. Yeah, that's it. You got him. You got him." I have another friend who I was visiting once, and I just shared with him that I had just challenged our church to give $500,000 to missions that year. And before that, we've been given $200,000 every year. And I just said to the whole congregation, I said, it only takes 500 people. And all you have to do is save $20 a week. And at the end of the year, you'll have $1,000. And we can give $500,000 to missions this year. And I was sharing this with him, how the people had responded. And he said, Gary, did I ever tell you my giving story? I said, I don't think so. He said, well, you know, before we got married, my wife and I had been tithers as singles. We'd been tithers to God, give 10% to God. So when we got married, that was no problem for us. We just agreed we'd give 10% to God. He said, I started a business and God blessed me. And he said, at the end of the year, I said to my wife, you know, honey, God's blessed us this year. Why don't we just raise it to 11%? And she said, well, fine, honey, if that's what you want to do. And then he said, the next year, God blessed us. And I said, honey, why don't we move it to 12%? And he said, Gary, you know, God's blessed, and we've just moved it up 1% every year ever since we've been married. And I said, how long you been married? He smiled, and he said, 49 years. You understand, at that point, he was given 59% of all that God gave him. You see, for some people, giving is just natural. That young lady who came to me and told me that she had messed up her life for 24 years, and she was overwhelmed with the fact that God would give her eternal life, she did something that night no one's ever done for me. She came up after the service and told me her story, and she had a loaf of bread, and she gave it to me. She said, Dr. Chapman, I don't have much. She said, but every morning I bake 3 loaves of bread. And I just take them along with me throughout the day. And I give them away to people that I meet along the way. You see, that's her love language. So she's expressing love to God by giving gifts. And then there's acts of service. These are the people, if this is their love language, these are the people who volunteer first to work in the soup kitchen. Put me down, I'll be there on Thursday night. These are the people that volunteer to do things for God because in their mind, this is the way you express love to God. You express love by doing things for God. And it's natural for them. You see, since God has no primary love language, God, He receives great joy when we come to Him and express our love to Him in our love language, any of the love languages. So we shouldn't be critical of people who express love to God in ways that are different from us. See, I find a lot of people, if acts of service is their language, they will say about the words people, all you ever do is pray and sing songs. If you love God, get out here and do something. See, and so we look at the other people and we criticize them rather than recognize that they are loving God. They're just doing it in their love language. The third observation I made is this, and that is the danger of our love for God becoming mundane and ritualistic. You see, we're creatures of habit and we tend to fall into routine. And our expressions of love for God can become rote and mundane. Can I illustrate? Words of affirmation. If this is your language, then you talk to God. You talk to God. And you sing songs to God. Well, you know, the danger is that you'll find yourself, your prayers, you're saying the same thing to God. You sit down to thank God for your food and you say the same thing every time you sit down there. And you pray at certain times and you find yourself saying the same words all the time. And sometimes you get through praying, you don't even realize what you said. It just became rote. It's like the prayer you learned as a child that you said every night that your parents taught you. But now you're an adult, but the words have just become rote words. And then acts of service. You remember when you start going to the soup kitchen? Oh, man, you went to the soup kitchen on Thursday night and you dipped beans. And every time you dipped beans, you looked up at that man in front of you and you saw Jesus. Because you remember what Jesus said, as often as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. You saw Jesus and you were worshiping Him. You were loving Him by serving beans. But that was 10 years ago. You still go to the soup kitchen every Thursday night. You still dip beans. But you don't even think about God. That's just what you do on Thursday night. You go down there and dip beans. You see, it's become routine. It's become mundane. And then the quality time people. There's the tendency that we spend our quality time in the same place, in the same manner, every single time. And before long, you wake up and realize, you know, I've just been 10 minutes here with God, and I don't remember a thing I said to God, and I don't remember a thing He said to me. You see, you just went through the routine of a quiet time. But it's routine now. It's not alive. And then gifts. We can fall into the habit of just giving the same gift every week, the same time. We write a check to God. We put it in the envelope at church, or we go online and we do the same thing every week, give the same amount every week, same thing every week. It's just like writing a check to pay the light bill. But we're not thinking about God. We're not worshiping. We're not loving God. We're just doing it because it's what we do. And then physical touch. We find ourselves, these folks find themselves, that the body responds to the same stimuli in the same way. If it's a song that we sing in church often, it's when we get to a certain place that we raise our hands. And after a while, we got our hands up and forgot why we raised our hands. God never intended our love relationship to become mundane. Jesus talked about this in His letter to the church at Ephesus when He said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, I'm glad for your patience. I'm glad for your labor. I appreciate your work. But I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. See, God never intended that our relationship with Him become mundane. He wanted to be alive. So can I give you two suggestions on how to keep your relationship with God alive and vibrant and not simply ritual? Two suggestions. Number one, learn some new dialects of your own love language. Instead of just speaking the same dialect, learn some new dialects. For example, if you're a words of affirmation person and you've never read the Psalms out loud, read the Psalms out loud to God. That'll wake it up for you. Or maybe take a hymnal. You young folks remember what hymnals are. You take a hymnal and you open that hymnal and you read the words to God. Or you could sing them to God if you're by yourself, you know, because you don't sing too loud in public because you're off key. But you can sing the hymns to God. Now, you might have to get you a dictionary to see what some of those words mean, but it'll help you. It'll wake up those words of affirmation. Or you might even use a prayer book. Yeah, a prayer book. Prayers that somebody else wrote. Not the words you would use, but it'll wake it up for you. I'll guarantee it. Or learn to pray the Scriptures. Read a verse and then talk to God about that verse. And then acts of service. If you've been going to the soup kitchen every Thursday night for 10 years, I'm not going to suggest you stop, at least unless you recruit somebody to take your place. But maybe you ought to try some other acts of service, like raking leaves for the elderly, or cleaning out gutters for the elderly, or baking cookies for the elderly, or feeding the poor, or going on a mission trip and doing something for God. Or maybe go across town and do what you did on the mission trip. Acts of service, some different dialects. And then quality time. If your daily quiet time has just become mundane and routine, you're just going through the motions, then maybe you ought to try a new translation of the Scriptures. Read a different translation from the one you've been reading. Or maybe read a devotional book that you've never read before. Or maybe you could walk and memorize Scripture as you're walking. Variety and time and place and method could be good. Maybe in the summertime you go outside and have your quiet time with God. Or if you live in the city, find a cathedral and go sit down and marvel at what God has done through history. And its place and the time and all of that can make it alive for you. Quality time. And then gifts. Explore new ways of giving. maybe if you don't have much, you can just give water or give food or give clothing. Or if you're an investor, maybe you just decide at the beginning of the year, I'm going to give my biggest gainer to God this year. That'll blow your mind away. One guy did that. He came back and said, "Doc Chairman, I was going to give this stock to God, and it went down over the year." He said, "I said, man, don't worry about it. It's God's money. Don't worry about it. God wanted to lose. It's okay. Just give him what you got left." Or, you know, it's not just giving money, it's giving encouragement. I had an ex-alcoholic who said to me, "Doc Chairman," he said, "I don't have much money at all." He said, "But I tell you what I do." He said, "I write scripture verses on little cards, and I always have them in my pocket." And he said, "I give them away to people along the way that I meet and talk with, and I feel like it'd be an encouragement to them. I give them a scripture." And then physical touch. If you normally pray on your knees, try standing up and praying. Or if you normally pray standing up, maybe you could try the Jewish rock. You ever seen that? The Jewish rock. But don't try that in a Baptist church, okay? You know, one of the things I started doing, physical touch, not my language, but every morning I do a little exercise routine. I mean, it's just kind of wake up exercise, you know, start off real light, you know, kind of. But I start putting my prayer into that, you know. And when I do this, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, addressing the triune God. And then I pray for my little family. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us, you know. And then I get a little broader, you know. And I start praying for my whole family. I call their names silently. I call their names. I go through my whole family, my wife's family, my family, East Coast, West Coast, all over, calling their names in prayer. And then when I get through that, I pray for the pastors on my pastoral staff. And I do like this. And every time I come around, I pray for one of the pastors. Yeah, we got about 20 of them on our staff. I call all their names. And then I pray for all the administrative assistants. I go like this. I pray for all the administrators up and down the hallway, all of them, calling their names in prayer. And then I pray for all the janitorial guys and the maintenance guys. Yeah. And then I pray for some nations. So I go down and say, China, Indonesia, Japan, Korea. Pray for the nations. And then I always remember the guys in the rescue mission and the ladies in the rescue mission and the men who are sleeping under the bridges. Pray for all those folks. And then just to top it off, I just go back and say, "Thank you, God." Physical touch. If you're a hugger, physical people, they're huggers. If you're a hugger in church, you hug people in the lobby, try going down to the rest home and hug those people sitting there that when you walk by, they say, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." And try, you can do this on your lunch hour and hug those people in their nursing home. Or try prayer walking through your neighborhood if you're a physical touch person. So, learn some new dialects of your own language. My second suggestion is this, and I close with this. Try speaking some of the other love languages that don't really come too natural to you. For example, if you're a words person and words come easy, but you've never gone to the soup kitchen, go to the soup kitchen. Give it a try. It'll stretch you a little bit. It won't feel real comfortable to go there. But you're learning how to speak another love language. Or if you're an acts of service person and you're just not much into words. You know, you think you ought to always be doing something for God, but you're not much into words. Then maybe you should try reading a hymnal or reading a psalm out loud to God. Or if you're a gift giver, but you're not big on touching, then maybe when you write your check or however you give it, maybe get on your knees and put your hands on that check and pray that God will take that money and He'll use it for His kingdom. So you're learning touch along with your giving. Or if you're a toucher, but you don't have much time for reflection, then maybe just set yourself a goal of 10 minutes to sit down with God every morning before you leave and listen to Him and talk to Him. We're talking about an intimate relationship with Him. Or if you're a quality time person and that comes natural for you, but you've never been much of a giver, you go get you one of those little shoe boxes and just start off with a Samaritan's purse and give them, fill that little shoe box up this week, Christmas time. Yeah. Or you start with 1%. So, oh, God, this is going to stretch me. 1%. See, from God's side, He's always speaking all five love languages. And the healthiest relationship with God is when we learn how to speak all five love languages to God. You see, I often say to parents, in loving your children, you give them heavy doses of the primary, but you sprinkle in the other four languages because we want that child to learn how to receive love and give love in all five languages. That's the healthiest adult emotionally. Well, the healthiest relationship with God is when we learn how to speak all five love languages to God. Some of them won't be as natural as others, but we're learning how to speak all love languages to God. The book I wrote is called God Speaks Your Love Language, published by Moody Publishers. I hope it's a good book to study. You might want to study in your church group. And I understand Moody Publishers has some of them back there tonight. I hope this stimulates a desire into you to keep your relationship with God intimate and growing. Our relationship with God, just as in human relationships, it's either getting better or it's getting worse. We're either growing or we are regressing. We never stand still with God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these moments tonight to reflect upon Your great love to us. We fully are aware that we would not be here tonight, nor would we be heirs of Christ, were it not for Your great love. Teach us, Father, how to respond to Your love. And may our relationship with You never become routine, never become mundane. May it always be alive. May we be growing in our relationship with You from now until the time we see You. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh, God speaks all five love languages. God speaks your love language, listener. I like this challenge too, to try to speak a love language, not my own. This concludes our broadcasting of the Founders Week teachings from Moody Bible Church in Chicago. They're archived at greatnewsradio.org. Be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear the wonderful Joey Kroll. He's one of my favorites. This is Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. Have a wonderful day and night.